purpose of suffering, and the purpose of suffering was to meet closer with God through his consolation. And this third study in chapter 1, we're going to look at Paul's sincerity, his honesty with the church. But the thing is, he's going to talk about the certainty of his teaching and of the faith that we have in Christ. So let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you and praise you for this morning, and open our hearts to your word. And Lord, we need your anointing. We need the Holy Spirit to come down upon us and to anoint our hearts to learn from these words that you have penned. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let's look at verse 12, and hopefully we'll finish this whole chapter. For our boasting is this. Whose boasting is that? That's Paul the Apostle's and his team that came to Corinth. The testimony of our conscience that we conducted ourselves in the world with simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and more abundantly towards you. What's interesting, Paul says, we came to you folks in simplicity. We didn't come with a band. We didn't come with the revival tents. We didn't come with all the fireworks and stuff. We came with you in godly sincerity. Pardon me? I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. And so they came to them, and it says, we conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity, but not with fleshly wisdom, by the grace of God. And that's something that we got to remember, that Paul is reminding us here, that anything that's done for God, it's not done with fleshly wisdom. It's done by the grace of God. You know, I think about our church. I was talking to my daughter about our church and how it started. It started with a Bible study. Pastor Skip, by faith, moved to Albuquerque. By faith, he found a job. By faith, he started a Bible study. And it began with four people, and him and his wife were half the church. And then by faith, the Bible study grew. And by faith, they moved to one location. And by faith, they moved to another location. And then by faith, they moved here, and that warehouse over there was a sports complex. The sanctuary was an indoor soccer rink. The little classrooms that you used to go to over there, they were, you know, racquetball courts and stuff. And when I first came here, you know, we didn't even have carpet in the main sanctuary. It was just, you know, fold-out chairs. It was awesome. But there, you know, there wasn't a plan. He didn't plan it to happen that way. It was by the grace of God. And, you know, and that's the way we want to live our lives. You know, the Bible says, man makes his plans, but God orders his steps. And so as we grow up, as I get older, and, you know, and here I'm, you know, I'm already planning about when I want to retire, you know, but I make my plans, but God orders my steps. It's by his grace that we're established, and it's by his grace that our plans are fulfilled. So I'm not saying it's wrong to plan, but allow God's grace to dominate your life. Allow God's grace to dominate your life. Let's look at the next verse. In godly service to you, not in flesh, but the grace of God, and more abundantly towards you. Okay, that's his heart. The grace of God towards these folks. For we are not writing any other things to you than what you have read or understand. Now I trust you will understand, even to the end, as also you have understood us in part, that we are your boast, as you are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now, did you catch that part in verse 13? Look at that. What does it say? That's an important statement. For we are not writing any other things to you than what you've read or understand. You know, Paul the Apostle was telling them, we have been consistent in our teaching of the gospel. We have been consistent in teaching you the things of God. Consistency. And you know, one of the big problems in the church is that sometimes you get guys who have an idea. Whoa, let's bring this into the church and this will attract more people to come. Let's kind of change the gospel so that more people will feel like they'll come to our church. And Paul the Apostle says, no, I was consistent with you. You know, years ago, and I consider it a compliment. Maybe it wasn't meant to be a compliment, but I had one student in my class that says, you say the same things all the time. And Paul the Apostle did the same thing. It was good that you hear things over and over. And as you grow in your Christian life, and especially if you go to the same church for a long, long time, like I have here, I've heard Pastor Skip share the same things. Nothing new, nothing glitzy, nothing, oh, super exciting. He's shared the same truth over and over again. And it's not like I sit in the chair and go, I heard this. Oh, great. How boring. You know, they are important reminders to our hearts. Important reminders. Because what's the problem with us human beings when we hear something? Most of the time, goes in one ear, and where does it go? Out the other. We forget. James says we're like people. We will read the word of God, and we'll be like a guy who looks at the mirror and says, oh, yeah, and forgets what he looks like. We need to hear these things to reinforce it. But you know what the power and the beauty of the Holy Spirit is? Marissa could hear the message, and God speaks to her in a certain way, and Megan hears it, and God speaks to her in a different way than her. And then years ago, you may hear a similar message, and God may speak to you what he spoke to Megan about, and Megan will hear what God spoke to Marissa about. You know, it builds up on each other. And so have an excitement about God's word. You know, the Bible says it's alive and sharper than any two-edged sword. The word is alive. It's growing your faith. And, you know, and it's true. There's times you read the word and it's like, wow, I never noticed that. And it could be one little word that you catch. I'll be reading and I'll just see one word and it just sparks a thought in my mind. And I thought, I never saw that in your word, Lord. The beauty is what Pastor Skip is doing on Wednesday nights. He's doing an overall teaching of the Bible from 30,000 feet. To me, that's an awesome way to study the Bible because you see the whole picture, the big picture. See, a lot of times, you know, we're like the little ant in the blades of grass out there, and all you'd see is these forests. It's just nothing but grass blades everywhere, and every grass blade kind of looks the same, except for when you get up above it, you see the different lengths of grass and things around it, you know, the big picture. And, you know, if you want to read some good books, there's some Bible books by a guy by the name of G. Campbell Morgan. He had a brilliant mind of just seeing God's big picture. But anyway, we digress, but it's important that there's consistency in the things that you hear as Paul gave them. And notice he says, as you have understood in part that we are your boast, as you are also ours in the day of Lord Jesus Christ. It's kind of like these Corinthians, they were blessed. I mean, wouldn't it be awesome if Paul the Apostle came in here to teach us? I mean, Paul the Apostle, the guy who wrote most of the New Testament. I mean, that would be awesome. And Paul the Apostle say, these are my students. This is my part of the people that God used me to help bring to Christ. He boasted about his church. He boasted about them, and they boasted about him. And that's a good thing. Now, Paul's going to turn the corner here in verse 15. And in this confidence, I intend to come to you before, that you may have a second benefit to pass by you the way of Macedonia, to come to you again from Macedonia to you and be helped by you on my way to Judea. So Paul the Apostle, you know, Corinth is, you know where Greece is? You know, Greece comes down here and there's Italy over here. Well, Macedonia's up here. And that's where Corinth was kind of up in that area. And he was going to pass all the way through to go back to Jerusalem. Well, Paul the Apostle wrote two letters to the Corinthians that we have. They said there was a third letter, but God saw that it was not important to be in the canon of Scripture. But Paul the Apostle wrote basically the first letter to correct this church. Like I said, the Corinthians brought a lot of baggage with them when they came to the Lord. And there was a lot of that baggage still in the church, and Paul the Apostle had to address it. You know, one of the problems was that they would have what they call a love feast. And a love feast was basically a potluck. And it's like if we brought a bunch of pizzas in here and let's say some of you are real carnal and Ian's in line and he's getting his pizza and I just like push him out of the way, that's mine. And that was going on in the church. And people were just kind of fighting and just not very loving to one another. Because they still had a lot of Corinth in them. And there was, you know, sexual immorality going on in the church. And, you know, Paul the Apostle had to write this letter. And he wanted to come to them, but he said, I better not come to the church. And so he wrote another letter. Now he's finally saying, okay, I'm ready to come visit you guys. You know, the beauty about Paul the Apostle was he didn't try to lord over the church. Lord over. You know what it means to lord over? Be a tyrant. You know, I told you to do this, whack, whack, whack. You know, Paul the Apostle would write his letters and he would step back and allow God, the Holy Spirit, to work in their lives. And, you know, and sometimes as a pastor, you know, they have to step back and allow God's word to seep into their congregation's hearts. He'll remind them, gently remind them things and allow God to work. You know, it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance, the Bible says. And so he didn't want to lord over these folks. And so now he's on his way. Now, verse 17. Therefore, when I was planning this, did I do it lightly? No, I would say. Or the things I plan, do I plan according to the flesh, that with me there should be a yes, yes and no? No. Here, Paul the Apostle says, is that I try, you know, Paul the Apostle, by the flesh, tried to do things. But he also discovered that the Holy Spirit stopped him. And in the book of Acts, Paul was saying, we were trying to go to Asia, and we tried several times, but the Holy Spirit stopped us. And so he's trying to do things by the Spirit, and he's saying, you know, did we plan it lightly? No, he didn't plan it lightly. Do we do things? Yes and no. Are we wishy-washy? And he's saying, we're not wishy-washy. Verse 18, but as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no. And you know, that's something that you can bank on. It says, but as God is faithful. Think about that. But as God is faithful. If somebody is faithful, does that mean that they're wishy-washy? What does a wishy-washy person do? Go ahead. Goes back and forth. You can't count on them, right? You know, they said they're going to do something, they're going to do it. And that's a faithful person. It says, but God is faithful. But as God is faithful. And, you know, and that's something we need to remind ourselves as Christians. And we know it. God is faithful. He's not wishy-washy. And that's something that we can rejoice in the Lord about. Because, especially as Bible-believing Christians, there is so much confidence in the pages of these of the Bible. So much confidence. You know, like for example, you know, I've gone to some Catholic funerals, and it's wishy-washy. Well, this guy, he's going to go to heaven and God's grace. And then the next moment, well, we're not sure if he's going to heaven, blah, 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 blah. Oh, but he's going to heaven. You know, there's a disconnect in the theology. But if you're a Bible-believing Christian, you have confidence. Verse 15, and in this confidence. I mean, that's awesome. Verse 18, but as God is faithful, we have confidence in this word. I love 1 John. Chapter 5, verse 13, it says, we have written these things so that you may know that you have eternal life. Isn't that good to know? Isn't it good to know that you're going to heaven based on one thing? On the goodness and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's not based upon what you can do or what you can't do. It's based upon your placing your faith and his righteousness on his work on the cross, upon his life, upon his resurrection, that you're going to heaven. That's the only reason. You can't take away from it and you can't add to it. I like that because I would blow it. I still sin. I still fall short. But because I place my faith in Jesus Christ, and my trust in his work, God says, now you are righteous. Isn't that cool? God says, you're righteous. You're a righteous chick. And it's not because you're cool. It's because Jesus is cool because he did it for you. And all he sees you is because Jesus' name upon your head, his stamp. And we'll talk about that later. Okay, we are in verse 18. But as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him, yes. I like that. Everything in Christ is a yes. It's a yes. You pray according to the will of God, and it's a yes. Jesus told his disciples, he says, up until now, you haven't asked for anything. Go ahead and pray, and I will give it to you. According to his will. Now, but I did pray for that brand new Xbox, and I never got it. Well, maybe that wasn't according to his will. Maybe God didn't want you to have an Xbox. Have you ever thought about that? Maybe God wants you to get outside of yourself and start looking up and see that the fields are ripe for harvesting. Maybe God wants you to open your eyes away from yourself and see there's a kingdom of God that needs to be built. And he wants you to be a participant in it, which he does. All of you have a role in his kingdom. Every one of you. And the glory is, the joy is to step out in it. Now, does it mean you're going to be a missionary? Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe some of you would just be teaching Sunday school like me. This is a blast. This is an awesome blast. I'm not a missionary. I'm a missionary in my... We're all missionaries, in a sense, because all of you are somewhere, right? All of you carry the love and the grace of Jesus Christ in your heart. And the Bible says, and I think it's later on in Corinthians, we're going to read about it, we are these clay vessels that are carrying the message of Christ, and our job is to spill that message on people. And maybe by God's grace, still eyes will be opened and they'll receive that message and become part of God's family. But all of us have a role in the body of Christ. And so the goal of God is to get us from looking always at ourselves, but to see the big picture of God's kingdom. And so that will be a good thing. Verse 20, look at this. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen. To the glory of God through us. Now he has established us with you, and in Christ has anointed us is God. That's an underliner. Verse 20, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen. Again, remember we're talking about confidence? Those are yours. These things, these promises are yours. They're mine. You know, the Bible is like a big giant bank account. And all we have to do to cash in is to grab that promise, like you would grab cash, and spend it. Well, for us, we take God's promises and say, all of them are yes and amen. We take his promise and we walk in it. We spend it by walking in those promises. You know, I heard a story about this lady. Her name was Hetty Green. And Hetty Green was this lady. She was a multi-millionaire. But if you saw Hetty Green, you would never know it. She owned one dress. And she lived by herself, never bought anything, never went anywhere, and lived and pinched every penny. Because the problem with Hetty Green, she was greedy. And she lived a very miserly life. And I think I heard this true about her. She had a son who got an infection on his arm. And she was so greedy, she didn't want to take him to the hospital, and so she didn't. And finally, they had to amputate his arm off because she didn't want to spend that money. And the thing is, a lot of Christians are Hetty Greens. Here is the bank vault of God's promises, and we don't want to walk in those promises and spend them. And so, spend those promises. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen. To the glory of God. Let's look at verse 21. Now, he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. And here, Paul is reminded, God is the one who sent us out. He established us. He anointed us, but he's also is going to do that for them as well. Now, he who established us with you in Christ and has anointed us as God, but who also has sealed us, given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit. When you believed in Jesus Christ, guess who moved in? Guess who moved in? Yeah, the Holy Spirit. He said, scoot on over. I'm living. And I love Greg Laurie's analogy. I don't know if you know who Greg Laurie is, but he talks about when we received Christ and the Holy Spirit came in, and he started like, moved into your house and is like, oh, where'd you get this shag carpeting? And so he rips out the shag carpeting. And God does that in your life. He starts stripping away things that you used to think, like, this is cool. And you go, like, you know what? Maybe this is not so godly. And then he sees the lava lamp, and he goes, the lava lamp? What's this lava lamp doing here? So he gets rid of the lava lamp and gets you a new lamp. And God starts rearranging the furniture of your heart, rearranging the priorities of your heart, because he's living in you. It's an amazing thing what the Holy Spirit does. So, he has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. That means a deposit. Something of great value has been placed in your heart, the Holy Spirit. He sanctifies you. And that's something that you can rejoice in the Lord about, a guarantee. Not that God also given you salvation, he has given you himself. And so, moreover, verse 23, I call God as witness against my soul that to spare you I came no more to Corinth. And here, again, Paul's heart. I didn't come to Corinth. I wrote the letters, but I didn't want to come to lord over you. I wanted to back off and allow God to do the work. Because remember, he says he didn't want to do it in fleshly wisdom. He wanted to do it in spiritual wisdom. And Paul the Apostle had great discernment. You know, he was like a diamond cutter. He knew how much pressure to hit the chisel to cut the diamond. He knew how much pressure to put. You know, it's like going to a good dentist. A dental hygienist, you know, when they clean your teeth, and you know, you have some dental hygienists, oh, they're so gentle. This last time I went to the dentist, oh, this lady, she nearly ripped out my gums. She was like digging in, and I'm like, tears are coming down my eyes, and I'm going, that hurts. And she goes, I know, but I want to get this. I'm like, ow. But Paul the Apostle wasn't like that harsh, that dental hygienist. He knew when to back off and allow God's gentle spirit to work in the hearts of these folks. And the reason is, verse 24, not that we have dominion over your faith, but we are fellow workers for your joy, for by faith you stand. So you didn't want to lord over it. A servant of the Lord does not lord over people. You know, in fact, you know what the word minister in the Bible means? Sometimes, you know, in our culture, we kind of blew things out of proportion. The word minister means like doulos. And if you were a doulos, you know what you are? You're a slave. How about that? And we elevate this guy so high, and he's just a slave. What did Jesus do on the last night that he had dinner with his disciples? Do you remember? What did he do that night? He got this garment, and he took his garment, and he wrapped it around his waist, and he got on his feet, and he took off their stinky sandals and washed their feet. And he reminded his disciples that the greatest of you all are the servant of all. Here, God in human flesh, the creator of the universe, the one we worship, got on his hands and knees and washed feet. And did you know that was the job of a slave in that culture? He didn't say, I'm too good for this. Peter, wash Ian's feet. He did it himself. And so, we're not to lord over others. But notice the last thing, and we'll close with this. The last verse, the last statement in chapter 1. For by faith you stand. Let that sink into your heart. Remember we talked about that we are saved by God's grace. We can't add to it. We can't take it away. There it is. It's by faith you stand. And now how much faith must you have? A little tiny mustard seed. Jesus says if you have a faith of a child. Faith of a child. Just a tiny little bit. And you know what Jesus is going to do that little tiny faith? He's going to blow like a little, like, you know, Boy Scouts, they create, you know, fire to get the wood thing, and they go to create friction. It gets hotter and hotter, and a little spark starts going. And what happens when the little sparks hit the straw? What do? You put air in it. You blow in it because you need oxygen to create a fire, and Jesus blows on your spark of faith, and oh, it's a little fire. Then it gets bigger and bigger, and then you have a big giant. But that happens from glory to glory. So it's by faith you stand. It's by faith. Jesus was asked, "What works can I do to enter the kingdom of God?" This man asked him. And he says, "Believe in the one whom God sent." Believe. Faith. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We praise you for today, and it's so true, Lord, and I'm so grateful, Father, that it is by faith that we stand. And I pray, Lord, that our lives be marked by a walk of faith in full confidence in your promises, that we would be live richly by always going to your bank account of promises, withdrawing it and walking in it, and spend it all to your glory. Continue to work in our hearts. We love you and we praise you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. May the Lord bless you. And if you would, put your Bibles away over there.